really nice. We got back from, well, we've been really everywhere. I can't think of one place where we weren't. We've been, last year we were up towards Maine, towards the end of last, on fall. It was really a good time. The leaves were changing everything. And then this early year we've been over to California. So we've been coast to coast. And we've got as far as north as Colorado, about from Denver. But we really didn't go extend ourselves out that way. It's been a real blessing. I can't say I would probably have ever seen a country like we have. We wouldn't went on deputation. I even got to go to Mexico, and I didn't think I would be able to do that. But again, thank you. So, as I say, it's really good to be here, be back in Ohio, and be so close to home, be able to. You know, sleep in our own beds and not have to deal with, you know, the roach motels, so to speak. But so I'd like to first go to the Lord in prayer. You can turn your Bibles to Psalms 77. That's where we'll be preaching out this evening in Psalm 77. And again, just thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the hospitality. And just the ability to be able to come and present what the Lord's doing there. And it's really all about what He's doing. It's not really about us. It's about the work that, you know, He's the body of Christ needs to be involved in and working over there before this thing wraps up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for being able to come, living in America, be able to come to church without having to worry about who's looking over our back and worry about some kind of government official tailing us and doing things and having to do things in secret or having to necessarily think about a loved one who's in prison because they're standing for the faith. And Lord, there's people who are, Lord, there's Christians that are doing that, are having suffering. There's Asian, some of those Asian countries, Lord, that they're not believers, and they're against, Lord, the work. And Lord, I ask You to be with them, be with all the other missionaries, Father, be with those local churches over there. I pray that You would help them, Lord, in their affliction, and minister them, God, only like You can. Pray, Lord, You would be with us tonight, and Father, You'd help just the spirit here to be welcoming Your words, Lord, and Lord, You'd give me some liberty, Lord, make it easy to preach, and Lord, I just would say what You want to be said, want to say, Lord, and not say anything that doesn't need to be said. And Lord, just thank You for this opportunity, Lord. I love You, and thank You for doing all the things You've done for me, God, and dying from the cross. And I think we can all be in the just thanking You, God, that You died for us, Lord, and You make a way that we can go to heaven. And Lord, we thank You for the soldiers and Lord, have given their lives over throughout the years and decades for our freedom. And I pray that You'd bless those families and remember You, Lord, and what You did for us on Calvary. Just be with us tonight, and I pray You'd be a good spirit here in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 77, we're preaching about Asaph and what he goes through, and this is really, you know, Asaph, he's not someone that's unfamiliar with, you know, the Lord's dealings, and unfamiliar with, he was in the tent, he was in the tabernacle, he was a recorder. He was a Levite, and he was a psalmist. He would they prophesy with a harp, and you know that tabernacle service. They prophesy with a harp, and he would write words down, and writing down the things that the Lord wanted to be written down and wanted to be said. Now Asaph, there's another Asaph in the Bible. He was a keeper of the king's horse. I think that, you know, maybe some of you guys would like that job, kind of the grounds control, you know. Get the small game and that kind of thing. But this Asaph here is he was a Levite, and he was in the temple, and he was no novice as far as the things of God go, and he was experienced and had seen the Lord do things, and he was very aware of that. Yet Asaph goes into some troubles there, and we'll start in verse 1. Asaph says, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And He gave ear unto me." Now, I've titled this message here, Asaph's Concerto. Now, that's a fancy title. Asaph's Concerto. Ooh. But I'll tell you what concerto means. It's a, because I had to look it up. It was a composition for an orchestra of one or more solo instruments, typically in three movements. Now, why I say that is because, you know, our lives, they're like in a book of Psalms, it's just a song book. You know, there are songs, and there's many Christians who have, you know, played, gotten music to some of these songs and helped you memorize them, those kind of things. And they would play these psalms on with the tabrets and the psalms, and would be singing them out, singing these the very word of God there with those musical instruments, and giving glory to the Lord. But that life is like a song, and it usually goes in three movements. I've heard the old preacher say, you know, you're either coming out of trouble, you're in trouble, or you're going into trouble. And that's the three movements of life. This life is it's full of trouble. The oldest book there, written down there is Job, and it talks about man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. The sparks fly upward. That's just the way it is, and it's trouble on every side. And it's in three movements here, and Asaph, he does a smart thing here, and that he goes to the Lord and he cries. And Asaph, that's the first point here, is Asaph cries. He says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Now, that's something that ought to be right off the bat. When you get into trouble, go right to the Lord. You see many Old Testament characters, they end up trying to, like Jacob, and being a Jacob, and trying to figure out and scheme and connive and see how they can do it on their own, by their own volition and on their own ability. And Christians are the same way. Try to do things our way and without first seeking the Lord. I'm preaching the choir here. It's a Sunday evening, and maybe that's what you do, but maybe you don't. Maybe sometimes you're in trouble right now, and you really haven't taken that thing to the Lord. He says he cries. Now, you know, we think it's kind of a cowardice to cry, and this world thinks it's you're a wimp if you're crying. But the Bible, you look at all those Old Testament characters and look at New Testament characters, look at the Lord and how his heart was burdened over Israel and looking over different things and looking over Israel and having compassion and weeping and crying, and the Old Testament characters, they do that and over their sins and over people not repenting, and they're crying. And I think that's often maybe something that's not really active in our life, in a Christian walk. It ought to be part of your life. Is your Christian walk is some tears to the Lord. I'm not making that up. Over there in Psalms 126, you can turn over there. Psalms 126. Maybe you've memorized or you know where I'm going with this. Look there in verse 5. This is a promise there from God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sounds like a pretty good promise there. He says, doubtless. Doubtless come again. And it's not just bringing the word. It's not just going forth and weeping. It's all those three things there. You're going and you're weeping and you're bearing the precious seed. That's an important thing to remember. You can get too mechanical in your delivery of the gospel and the presentation, your testimony, too mechanical, not enough passion in it, not enough fervor. People get passionate about many things, but what are you passionate about? I think about last December and how these people were so zealous for these gifts and how they stormed this store and stomped a man to death because they wanted those goods. They wanted those things. And often we can be like that in our testimony and our Christian walk, and just stomping over, and just the Bible says they trampled underfoot the Son of God, and we could get careless and just go by dozens of a day and not at least trying to give them a track or praying to God, would you lead me into the right person who you want me to talk with? We can be forgetful, and it's easy to get in that way. You know, I think about when I first got saved and how and you maybe the same way, how tender you were to the Holy Spirit, and how anything, just, man, is that right? Is this right? And just real sensitive that you didn't want to sin. But then when you get in the, you know, the regular role, and the kind of you get the just used to the mundaneness, and just the, everything gets, like I said, mechanical, you can often forget that, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on your sin. When's the last time? I remember I would frequent very, you know, you first get saved, and how many times you go on the altar, you know, about your sin, crying over it, and just, it's fresh. And you get used, and you don't go to the altar very much anymore. And it's, the Lord sees that, and I wonder how He feels about it. I wonder how He feels that it's not, you know, you're not tender like that way you used to be. You know, you're not just to cry about your souls, or you know, you should cry about, you know, or not just over your sins, but you should cry for the abominations of the country. Over there in Ezekiel chapter 9, they marked out the Levites and people who were crying for the desolation, the abominations of the country. I think about America and, you know, some of the bad things, you know, the abortions and different things that make, that really make God sick. That are just a stink in the nostrils of God. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to, you know, we're going to get the judgment. We're not going to escape that. We're part of them. We're Americans. Well, I want to be one of those few that are crying over it and saying, God, this isn't right. God, would you step in and do something and fix somebody's heart where they don't do that anymore and change it to where they value life and they value this and, Lord, they go the right way? Are you crying over that? Does it make any matter to you? It's all real, you know, my parents go to Vineyard of Columbus, and it's a big non-denominational work, and I see a lot of slick promotion that they do, and it's all positive, it's all glossy and veneer and just real nice, and there's no negative. There's no getting down and getting really some serious business with the Lord. It's a real just kind of fluff. And you know, anybody, we can get into that. We can get to a situation where we're not real serious with the Lord. And it's just real casual. Are you crying? Is it part of your is it part of your Christian walk? It ought to be. You ought to be crying about some things. And Asaph's tears, they're not crocodile tears. This isn't, he's really going through some trouble. And there, verse 2, he says, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, and my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember God and was troubled. I kind of think that maybe this was some trouble he brought on by himself, because he says, I remember God and was troubled. Maybe, and this is my own little take on it, you know, I'm not, this may or may not be, but that he remembers God, that the Bible says to do this and not to do that. And he was troubled because he brought it on himself. But he says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Salah. Now holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Now there in verse 3, Asaph complains. Asaph complains, and that's something that us Christians are pretty good at. We can complain. I've heard it in the army, in the military, it's just the way it is. The soldiers complain about this, complain about that. And I think that's us Christian soldiers can get like that. Now, I used to have complaints to the Lord, but about who you complain to. Are you complaining to the brethren about the preacher? Complain about this? You don't like this? Many times, if somebody would step in and do something and get off their chair there, their high horse, and do something about the situation, no one would complain about it. But they don't want to dump it on the pastor, dump it on somebody else. You see the need there. Hey, maybe why don't you go check and see if maybe the Lord wants you to do something. What are you complaining about? And Paul said, you know, do all things without murmuring and complaining. But if you're going to complain, you ought to complain to the Lord, amen. You ought to just tell Him, because He's the only one that can fix it. He's the one that's, He's the great physician. He's the one that's the master, the craftsman there, is going to be able to fix your problems. No one else is going to be able to. He says, I'm so troubled that I cannot speak, there in verse 4. It's kind of funny there. You know, he says, he goes on another 16 verses, Well, he said a lot for someone who cannot speak. But there in verse 5 says, I have considered. Asaph considers. He says, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Now here is when Asaph, this troublesome time he's having, starts to change when Asaph considers. Now he doesn't consider himself, doesn't consider his own works. He considers something far greater. He considers the years of ancient times. He goes on and starts thinking about all the things the Lord has done for him, all the things that God has done for the people of Israel. And I think about that. I've seen that over and over and over in my life when I get being like Asaph here in the first four verses, that when I start considering the Lord, things start to change. I can start considering what God put up with and how He dealt with me and how He deals with others and all the special, great, mighty things He's done. I start getting a little bit more chipper, a little bit more jump in my step and get a better attitude and a better countenance and a joy to be around. And that's what I want to be. I don't want to be down in the mud all the time in a doom and gloom. There's enough of that going on. There's old-time preachers and missionaries. They didn't talk about this thing about the government. They were busy about serving the Lord and trying to walk close with Him. I think too much goes on about Obama this and Obama that. Hey, is God still on the throne or what? I mean, did He just step down and now, you know, Obama's the Antichrist and now we're, you know, going to be suffering tribulation? I mean, come on. But he considers, and that's something you need to do. That's something I need to do. We all need to do is consider the Lord. And it goes on to verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. My spirit made diligent search. This is Asaph's communion. He starts having some communion with the Lord. Now that's what, I was a Catholic before, and I went to St. Joan of Arc in Powell, and went to St. Joseph downtown, and St. Mary Magdalene on the west side of Columbus, and Franklin County, and over there by Georgesville Road and Climb. And I've been to Catholic churches, and I've had their communion, but it was never like the communion after I got saved. After those times of having fellowship with the Lord in prayer, man, nothing beats it. He says, my spirit made diligent search. Now, that's something that if you start considering the Lord and start thinking about Him, you'll start having communion with the Lord because you're bringing Him glory. You're considering Him. You're thinking about Him. You see, if you just focus on this little problem, you focus on one thing and get the tunnel vision, you're missing the big picture. You're missing what the Lord's trying to do. I'll talk about that here in a second, but he says there, it goes on, he goes, he starts asking some rhetorical questions here. We all know the answers, but we'll go ahead and read them. There in verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? See, he knows the answers, and you do too. But he had to remind himself. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up His tender mercies? Salah. Yeah, peace. Amen. I thank God He hasn't. I needed those tender mercies. I needed the Lord to be gracious to me. I needed a lot. I've been saved 10 years, and I needed a lot. I didn't grow up in church. Had a lot of stuff, a lot of baggage. But I thank God He's been tender. Thank God He's been merciful. And He's been merciful to you. If you consider it and start to think and count your many blessings, it'll encourage you. It'll make you want to get in the fight and do something for the Lord. He's done so much for us. He deserves it. He deserves a set apart, a sanctified vessel. He deserves it. He said, this is my infirmity. This is Asaph talking. He's saying, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Kind of almost like Paul said, hey, you know, Your grace is sufficient, Lord. Yeah, I've got this problem here, and maybe it's a fault there, that kind of edging, that's kind of a sin there, but you know, I'm just going to keep on going forward. I'm going to try to do the best I can, God. That's the right attitude. He says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work, and talk of all Thy doings. And that's how, if you got, maybe you're a little, you're shy, I'm kind of that way, you start meditating also meditating on what the Lord can do, and what the Lord has done in your life, it'll help you to talk of His doings. It'll help you to, hey, I know the God that created this world. It didn't happen by evolution. Guess what? He created it. He spoke it into existence. And Jesus Christ did that. And Jesus, that's all Jesus Christ did. He crossed the universe and he gets talking about all He did. And it gets you excited and starts making all the problems and all the negative and just the garbage that this world and the Satan and the flesh puts at you, just knock it away and be able to live for the Lord and have an enlightened look and a better attitude. He says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" And there's no one. There's none greater. He's the only one. He said there in Isaiah, I like those passages there and all the Bible, but this passage where he starts bragging on himself. I really like that. He's going to sit there going, look around. I know not any. There's none around here. There's none like me. Hey, he's the only one that can brag and be right and be holy about it. Only him. He says, "Thou art the God that doest wonders, and thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Salah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out of water." His praise, his glory is just getting better and deeper. He's not. It's a total different spirit than he had there in the first four verses. It's a different attitude. It's just almost a different writer. He says, "The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water." In verse 17, "The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad." And he's talking about the lightning and stuff. "The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook." I recently saw this documentary on just different things about the creation. How scientists, they used to have this old philosophy that, well, since we're here, this earth's here, and this big old galaxy, this universe, and this big world, there's got to be, there's got to be dozens of other earths out there. And the more scientific information that they calculate and gather together, the more they see it's all the factors that are needed. It said about 20 real solid concrete evidence factors that were necessary for life on this earth. The more we see it, the more we see that this is an anomaly. It's an almost impossible that there's other life out there, because this is so rare. It's so incredibly rare that it's probably very negligible that there's any life out there. We're it. They got to be honest with us. So we're it. And there's got to be a reason for that. And they start seeing that. And on this video, it talks about lightning and how the lightning it can get as hot as the surface of the sun. I never knew that. But it can, and when it strikes, it creates it reacts with the molecules in the air, and the water turns into a fertilizer, into nitrogen, and it fertilizes the ground. And I thought about this verse here. He's talking about this thunder. Think about our trouble in our lives. It's often like the thunder, and then we hear the thunder first. What's going to happen? Then bam, the lightning happens. You know what? That's fertilizer. That stuff that we need. That it needs to get us in a position where it'll help us to grow. It'll help us to look to the Savior. It'll help us to get our minds off earthly things and on the heavenly things. It'll just get us to refresh that prayer closet and get back and wear those pants out at the knees there, because we're going to the Lord and seeking Him in prayer. The light, we need the light. We need the trouble. It says there, verse 19, "Thy ways in the sea, and thy paths in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." It makes me, he says, "Thou leftest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." It makes me think about, when Peter, here it is, the Lord, he's saying, "Thy ways in the sea, thy path in great waters, thy footsteps are not known." Think about out out in the heavens there, and the waters, great, the firmament separating those waters there. And then I think about, the Lord just walking on them waters, wanting us to walk by faith. And you think about Peter, how when he got off that boat and started walking on water, that was a supernatural walk. That wasn't something that, he had some kind of, high tech magnets or something on his sandals. That was a supernatural thing. And that really is, I think, a picture of how our walk's supposed to be. It's a supernatural walk. God wants us to walk on water. Get off this earth. Get off walking on dead bones and the things of the dirt. But get on the higher ground. Walk on water. It's something that's the Lord wants, and it's something that we need to do is have a better walk with Him, and be able to get into a position where you can focus on what the Lord's doing and get off yourself. This next psalm, Psalm 78, I think it's the second largest psalm next to Psalm 119. But Psalm 72, it's verse after verse of Asaph praising the Lord, praising God on all the miraculous things he did, feeding the people in the wilderness, breaking the rocks and the water coming out, helping them and just doing everything, providing for them over and over and over. Where did he get that that type of focus? He got it from the first four verses of Psalm 77. He got it from the trouble. That brought about the praise and the glory and the admiration. And that's what it gets. That's what it's supposed to give for us. It's supposed to. That's what the trouble in our lives is supposed to result in. It's supposed to result in a focus, in a heavenly focus on what the Lord's all about, who He is, to where we can walk closer and we can be those vessels and be all that He wants us to be. And that's what we're trying to be over in Ukraine and Russia. That's what we've been trying to do on deputation. And I say, if you know. Pastor was saying about looking for helpers and stuff. Hey, if you're an active missionary here, well, maybe the Lord will have you be a missionary over there. And it starts at local. It starts where you're at. That's where the Lord got a hold of my heart. I was being a missionary where I was at. It wasn't something that was just gonna happen one day. It starts today. It starts now. And the closer you walk, and the more in tune you'll be with the Holy Spirit and His direction. And I hope that's been a blessing there. It's always a blessing to me, and thinking about all the trouble that Asaph went through, and all the, four verses, and you got, around 100 verses of praise, and that's a good ratio. That's the kind of ratio I want to have, just praising the Lord, walking on cloud nine, amen. So, please, pray for us. Pray, think about what was said. I'm having a pastor come and just finish up. Again, thank you so much, and please pray for us.
Let's stand together this evening and sing a song of invitation. Brother Wiles has challenged us with the greatness and the goodness of God. And if God's spoken to your heart or dealt with you, we want to give you an opportunity to come and to respond this evening. What page do we have, Brother?
270.
Page 270. Page 270 in the hymnal. We're going to sing these verses, and if God's dealt with your heart, you come down to the altar and take care and settle things with God. You to be seated if you would. Brother Wiles, if you'll go ahead back to your display board back there, brother, and have your family join you out there. We want to give this, make this opportunity for you to give something directly to the Wiles family. As always, the church will give them a love offering, but we want to make it available for you to give personally also. And so we'll take an offering here for them. They'll be traveling back to Columbus after the service tonight. And so pray for them as they travel back there. And pray for them as they raise their support to go to the Ukraine. All right, Eric, come back up. And Grant, you're down here in the front. Come and help us, please. We'll take this offering this evening for the Wiles family. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this precious family and your calling upon their life. Father, your training in their life to prepare them for the field. Father, for the vision that you've given them to go. We thank you for the message tonight. We thank you for the song. We just thank you, Father, for their presence here with us. And we pray, God, that as he has sought, I know, to be a blessing to us, that, Father, tonight we can be a blessing also to them. So bless this offering. Father, meet their need in Jesus' name. Amen.